Would you please take the word of God with me and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, and as we say it in England, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm very thankful to have this opportunity to be here with you all this afternoon. I'm thankful for your pastor and his kindness, and getting to know him as well has been a tremendous blessing to me. Thank you for your concern for the people in the United Kingdom. As your pastor mentioned this morning, many people believe that the United States is about 15 years behind where the United Kingdom is at right now. You know, one of the reasons why Pastor Sexton started the ministry in England was because he understood that the United States is heading in that direction. So his belief was that if he can send students to England to learn the culture and to understand what is going on, it would be helpful in their ministry when they would return back to the States. So God has just done such amazing things in England. One of the things that I'd like to highlight to you before I bring the word of God to you all is a Camp Victory. God has opened up a door where we have been able to host a Christian camp for young people. It started off with just a handful of people a few years ago, and God gave us a property which we call the Crown Hall. It is worth over £1 million. And people have given to it, and God has raised up the Crown Hall. The Crown Hall is a place where we are able to host our camp. We've had over 300 people come, young people that would come to this camp. We'd have 1 week for children and another week for teenagers. And Crown Hall also houses students. We send students from America and students from the United Kingdom, and we are able to train them in the ministry. It's exciting to be able to reach people in the United Kingdom with the gospel and then train them and see them go out into gospel ministry. And that's really what we desire to do. We desire to train national pastors that are now able to go and to pastor those churches. There are two young men that have come to my mind this afternoon. They came to Crown Hall and they studied and for the ministry. And now they are in full-time service, and they were able to study at the Crown Hall. So God has just done such amazing things in the United Kingdom, and I'm very grateful to be able to go there in just a few weeks. Because of a visa situation, I have to be in England towards the end of April, maybe early May, from the work date. The visa process over there is very complicated. So I would appreciate your prayers as I begin to apply for that in just a few weeks here. Let's look together in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 together. I believe this, the Lord has laid this message upon my heart to share with you all, and I hope to be an encouragement to you all this afternoon. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Jump with me to verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee." Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for this opportunity that you have given us to come into your house this afternoon. And God, I pray that your Spirit would speak to hearts. I pray, God, that we would be changed even today as a result of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Our eyes are upon you today, Father, and we need thine help. Help us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark this phrase towards the end of verse 12, where the Bible says, "But our eyes are upon you." Would you please underline that in your Bible? "But our eyes are upon you." Here in this fascinating account, the Bible tells us that news was brought to King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, that the Ammonites and the Moabites and the inhabitants of Mount Seir all came together to fight against Judah. King Jehoshaphat realized that they were outnumbered. They did not have the manpower nor the resources to fight off this great army. So the Bible tells us that he called all the people of Judah to come and to pray and to fast. And in his prayer, he said, "Lord, we are in a situation where we just don't know what to do. But the only thing we know to do in this battle, the only thing we know to do in this trial, is simply to keep our eyes upon you." And I want to ask you this question: what does it mean to keep your eyes upon God in times of trial? What does it mean to keep your eyes upon God in times of battle? And I believe as we look into the Word of God, we can be encouraged, because the truth of the matter is there are many times in the Christian life where God allows us to go through trials. He allows, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rather rejoice." So the great test of our faith when we do find ourselves in a trial is not what we do to get ourselves through the difficulties, but rather it is this one thing: are we keeping our eyes upon God? Are we keeping our eyes upon God, or are we keeping our eyes upon our circumstances? In Matthew chapter 14, the Bible tells us that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to pass unto the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as the disciples obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, they encountered a storm. And they saw someone walking on the water, and they were afraid because they thought it was a ghost. Then Jesus, walking on the water, said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Then Peter, that bold and outspoken disciple, said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the ship and began to walk on the water because he had his eyes on Jesus. The Bible says that he was walking to go to Jesus. But the moment Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, the Bible tells us that he placed his eyes on the winds and the sea because the waves were boisterous. And the moment Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and placed it on his circumstances, he began to sink. Teaching us that when we find ourselves in the storms of life, we are not to look at our circumstances, but rather we are to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe as we study this passage out very quickly this afternoon, we can truly understand and know what it means to look to God in times of trial. Number one, I want to show you that if we are going to look to God in times of trouble, we must first be continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Notice with me in verse number 14. "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeliel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph," and notice this, "came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation." I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it is expedient that I go away, for I will pray to the Father and he will send forth another comforter." Notice how the Spirit of God in Scripture is referred to as the comforter. He is the one who comforts us in times of trials. He is the one who helps and guides us. You know, many people have a weird idea of the Holy Spirit. Some people believe that the Holy Spirit is just some power, or that the Holy Spirit is just some mystical force. But the Holy Spirit has power.
And the Holy Spirit has force, but I can submit to you that the Holy Spirit is a person. You can only grieve a person. You cannot grieve a power nor a force. And we see as this great proclamation was made that our eyes are upon God in this trial. Who showed up in the midst of the people? The Holy Spirit. Because it was the Holy Spirit that was going to guide them. It was the Holy Spirit that was going to empower them and embolden them. And showing us today that when we find ourselves in trials and in difficulties and in times of testings, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And not only are we to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I want to show you this, that we must dismiss all fear and discouragement. We must dismiss all fear and discouragement. Look with me in verse number 15. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Charles Spurgeon said it well when he said this, "He who counts the stars in the sky and calls each of them by their name is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as though you are the only creature that he has ever created, or as though you are the only child that he has ever loved." I can submit to you this afternoon, you have no reason to be afraid. Because the truth of the matter is, one of the greatest tactics that Satan uses on the lives of believers is fear. Because he knows as long as God's people are walking around fearful, they are of no good use to the king. So God instructed his people, even though the armies are coming out against you, even though you are outnumbered, even though you are in a situation in which you do not know what to do, be not afraid. We should not be afraid of our circumstances because of who God is. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." We should not be afraid because God is able. And what is this able God to do? Able to do? He is able to do more than we ask, and he is able to do more than we think. Our God is able. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, the Lord asked a very interesting question to his people. He said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" The circumstances that you're facing, the trials in your life, the storms that you are battling today, I ask you, is that too hard for God? And Jeremiah gave the answer. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast created the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And because there is nothing too hard for God, there is no reason why we as God's people should be afraid. Because the truth of the matter is, God is not on the balcony of heaven wringing his hands, wondering what's going on. We serve a God that is in complete control. That is why when Satan wanted to tempt Job, he had to go to God for permission first. God's in control. And God is able. Therefore, he instructed his people. He said, even though all these things are happening, be not discouraged, be not dismayed, be not fearful. I ask you, are you fearful today? Are you discouraged today? Oh, be not afraid. I also want to show you that when King Jehoshaphat realized that they were in a trial, what did he do? What was his first response? The Bible tells us in verse number 3 and 4, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." King Jehoshaphat realized that the God that he served was able to hear and answer their prayers. And can I submit to you that this same God is able to hear and to answer our prayers? Precious promises have we been given in the Word of God that if we would simply go to the throne room of God by faith, we can have our petitions heard and given unto us. In John chapter 15, verse 7, the Lord Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Romans chapter 8, verse 32, "And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, according to his will, he heareth us. How many of you guys are thankful that he heareth us? Yes. And that we can ask anything according to his will. And we see the people of God went to God in petition. And they had their petitions known. And I can submit to you that God answers prayer for one reason and for one reason alone, and that is for his own glory. Amen. That is for his own praise. In the Psalm 50, verse 15, the Lord said, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So why is it that I'm going through the trials and the pain in the day of trouble? Call upon me. And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It is all for the glory of God. That is even the reason why we were created, to glorify our Maker, and God will be glorified with his people. So we see this afternoon that when we find ourselves in a trial, when we find ourselves in a battle, what should we do? Number one, we must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God, as we have seen in verse 14, as the Spirit of God was in the midst of the people. We see also that we have to dismiss all fear and discouragement. In verse 15, he said, "Be not afraid." Because the truth of the matter is, fear will paralyze you. God is always advancing, but fear will keep you in the same place. And God desires for us to move forward with him. So we have to dismiss it. Fear has no place in the life of the believer, because we cannot claim the name of Christ. We cannot say that we are the children of the Most High God and be afraid. So we have to dismiss it. I also want to show you that when we find ourselves in a trial, we must face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. We must face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. Notice with me in verse number 17, the Bible says this: "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Oftentimes we take our trials and our problems and we put it on the coat rack outside. Then we come into church and we enjoy the preaching, we enjoy the music, we enjoy the fellowship. And the moment the preacher says amen and we all are dismissed, we go back to that coat rack and we pick up our problems again. And it seems that we try to figure things out by ourselves and we try to deal with it by ourselves. And oftentimes we dread the mundanes of life, the tomorrows of life, knowing what could possibly happen tomorrow. And notice what God told his people. He said this: "Tomorrow, go out against them." Why? "For the Lord will be with you." And notice the word of God tells us this. He doesn't say that, "Oh, see the salvation of the Lord that will come to you." Notice, he said, "and see the salvation of the Lord with you." You see, the victory was already with the people of God. And all they had to do was to claim it by faith. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't say all things are good, but the Bible does say all things will work together for good. The victory is already with you. The trials that you are facing and the difficulties that are ahead, I can say upon the authority of the word of God, go out against them. Why? Not because you're able and not because you're strong. Why? Because the Lord will be with you. Because the Lord will be with you. When I was a teenager in church, they used to sing this song. I used to love it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm so thankful that I am a citizen of this country, but I can say that I have a far greater citizenship in heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oftentimes when we're facing a difficulty in life, we just have to put heaven's light into perspective. That one day God will snatch us away from this earth and we will be with him for all of eternity. But while we are here on this earth, we will face storms, we will face trials, we will face difficulties, but we are simply to keep our eyes upon God. That is even the very definition of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? We must dismiss all fear and discouragement. Are you afraid today? Are you discouraged? We must face our troubles by faith, believing and understanding that God has already given us the victory. And lastly, when we find ourselves in trials, when we find ourselves in the storms of life, we must worship God. We must worship God. Notice the children of Israel did the most unusual thing, it would seem. As the armies were coming out against them, notice with me in verse number 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The armies were coming out against them. They were outnumbered. They did not know what to do. And with their heads and their faces to the ground, they began to worship God. When you find yourself in a trial, what should you do? With your head and your face to the ground, worship God. And they were worshiping the God who created them. And the Bible says that. And God inhabits the praises of his people. And the most fascinating part of this entire account is, when was it that God gave them the victory? When was it that God came and slaughtered the enemies? Notice with me in verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When was it when God gave his people the victory? When the people of God began to sing and to praise. They began to sing and to praise the Lord. And I truly believe with all my heart that God is ready to give many of us the victory. And many of the trials and many of the circumstances that we're facing, but God is simply waiting for us to sing and to praise. He is waiting for us to do as he told the people of God in verse 17. He said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. One of the most difficult things to do in times of conflict is to set ourselves and stand still. But that's what God desires. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And perhaps there's a battle that you have no need to fight in. The battle that you're facing is not for you to try to figure it out. He said in verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. And could it be that the battles that you're facing, ye shall not need to fight in this one? And it won't be until you set yourselves. It won't be till you stand still. And it won't be till you begin to just sing and to praise and to worship God, till you see the victory. Oh, we should not have our eyes upon our circumstances. We should not have our eyes upon people. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. People will always change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that the word of the Lord that he would have me to share with you all this afternoon is very, very simple. To keep your eyes upon Jesus. Not upon your circumstances, but simply to keep your eyes upon Jesus. To be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. To dismiss all of your fear and your discouragement. To believe that the battle, that the victory for the battle has already been won. All you have to do is claim it by faith. And to simply worship God. To simply worship God for who he truly is. In the book of Numbers chapter 21, the Bible gives us the account when the children of Israel began to murmur against God and murmur against Moses. And God was so displeased that he sent fiery serpents into the camp. Think of that, fiery serpents. I'm afraid of a gardener's snake. I went to India to preach one time, and a man had a python around his neck, and he said, "Do you want to take a picture?" I said, "No," and I actually ran away from him. And he ran after me with the snake. And I'll never go back to India simply because of that one man, because he's still there. But God sent fiery serpents into the camp. And many of the people were bitten by those serpents. Many of them died. Then the people of God realized what they had done, and they went to Moses and they said, "Moses, please pray to the Lord for us that he would remove this thing from us." Moses then prayed, and God gave Moses the instruction to take the serpent, to make the serpent and to put it upon the pole. And whosoever was bitten by the serpent, the fiery serpent, if they would simply look up to the serpent that you would lift up, that they would be healed. Signifying of how the Lord Jesus Christ would one day be lifted up upon a cross. And whosoever by faith looks to him would be saved. You see, the message is the same for the believer as it is for the unbeliever. If you're here today and your life has never been changed by the power of the gospel, by faith, look to Jesus for your salvation. And if you're here today and you are a believer and you're facing a trial, it is the same exact message. Look to Christ. Someone said this, "Who killed Jesus?" Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me. I lay down my life." Jesus Christ willfully went to the cross when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to arrest him. He went up to them and said, "Whom seek ye?" Then he said, "I am he." And then he allowed men to take nails and to drive it through his hands. He allowed men to take nails and to drive it through his feet. And a crown of thorns upon his head, a spear in his side, to be mocked, humiliated, spit on, upon a cross, so that we can be saved. He said he could have called 10,000 angels to come and to set him free. But he despised the shame and was obedient even unto the death of the cross, so that we might be redeemed unto God. And if we would trust in Jesus Christ for our soul salvation and for the security of that salvation, how is it that we can't believe God in the trials, in the pains, and in the difficulties? Oh, James said this, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Oh, dearly beloved, may we all together, collectively, even as we leave this place, keep our eyes upon our precious Savior who loved us and who died for us, that we might be redeemed unto God. So I end with verse number 12. "Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Are you in a situation where you just don't know what to do? But our eyes are upon thee. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the word of God this afternoon. And we're thankful for the instruction and the encouragement that you have given us through your word. I pray, Father, for anyone here who may be going through a trial, who may be going through a time of testing. Oh God, that this would be a day in which they would turn their eyes upon you. Help us all to keep our eyes upon you and not upon our circumstances. And Father, I pray for anyone here who may not have had their life changed by the power of the gospel. I pray that even this afternoon, that this day would be the glad day of their salvation. And Father, we anticipate you working in our midst, and we give you all honor and all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's just take some time with the Lord. You may be sitting there right now and you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I may be in the midst of the trial and tribulation, and maybe your eyes are on the Lord. I'm not just gonna assume that you've gotten your eyes off him. Maybe your eyes are on the Lord and you just need to spend some time with the Lord and say, God, help me to keep my eyes there. Or maybe you know you're preparing to go through it and you need to be saying, Lord, help me to stay focused on you. Whatever the need may be, let's just spend some time with the Lord. If you need to use the altar is open. If you need to spend some time there in your seats, and you spend some time with the Lord. It's real easy to get distracted. It's real easy to start looking at everything else instead of just saying, my eyes are fixed upon you. You spend some time with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the message, Lord, on how you helped your people thousands of years ago. But Lord, they knew it was right to humble themselves and pray and to keep their eyes fixed on you instead of the multitudes that were around them. And so, Lord, I pray through whatever it may be that we would be able to sing and praise, and not just lift up our eyes towards you, but lift up our voices to you and determine that we're going to praise you anyway. Thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us. May we live in continual thanksgiving for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.